Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to engage in the ultimate retro nerd experience. The Techno Funk Boy presents The Retro Station.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul from the Techno Funk Boy, and you have tuned in to the Retro Station. And we are going to actually take a little bit of a look at some video game music today, and try to figure out where in the world this music came from. As just background for this episode, on our YouTube channel, which is Techno Funk Boy, I will sometimes do video game reaction videos, and then take a video game that I have not played, I haven't heard the soundtrack before, and just take a listen and kind of see what I think, see what I can figure out about it, and just walk through some of the songs. And that has been a lot of fun. And one of the first reaction videos I did was I had looked at a website that was listing out like the best NES soundtracks, and a game called Pictionary came up, and the post mentioned that this game did not deserve the soundtrack that it got, and I was intrigued. I was intrigued as to how in the world Pictionary had gotten on this list of just great NES games. So that is something we're going to come back to in just a minute, because that is kind of step one as to how I came across the TV show Time Tracks. Now, this was something that Time Tracks was something that I was not at all aware of at the time. But this show came out, started in January of 93. And it just surprised me a little bit that I was unaware of it. Because this is a time in my life that I was watching science fiction very, very heavily, and I didn't have cable, but a lot of this stuff was kind of finding its way over to very late night syndication, and it's perhaps the case for Time Tracks that it just didn't have enough episodes to make that particular thing possible, but it is one of those things that just completely missed me, and so I'm completely unaware of this. So when I heard about this game, I went to go looking up information on it, and Wikipedia took me to the page for the TV show, and I left there because obviously that was wrong. It actually took me a bit more searching to figure out. It's like, no, actually the game is based on this TV show. And so this was a time travel kind of cop action drama that ran for two seasons. Essentially it's about this cop that's trying to track down, as I understand it, I still haven't actually. I saw some like overviews of it, and I saw some like some advertisements for it in kind of looking at the game and such. But I haven't seen any episodes, and so you'll have to forgive me if I'm missing up some of the details. But this bad guy, it created a time machine, and for a price, essentially, he will, if you're like in prison, he will send you back in time so that you'll be free. And so the cops send back their own officer to the same time period to apprehend as many of these people as possible. And so I did snag the opening credits, and this was, you know, very appropriate opening credits for 93, in that, you know, it worried less about the music to it and more about, you know, kind of an overview of the story. And so I'm just going to plug this in here to give you a little taste of what we're dealing with.
It began in the future. A scientist turning to evil. A time machine called Trax. Criminals who vanish. And a lawman with a mission. He has one weapon. And a computer named Selma.
Good morning, Captain Lambert.
With him, he will travel to a time more innocent than his own. Now he is among us. A special breed of man. A hunter. Traveling through our world, searching for fugitives from his own. Knowing he cannot go home until he has found them all. His name is Darian Lambert. And this is his story.
All right, and so this is the TV show, right? And surprisingly, or perhaps, I don't know, not surprisingly, considering some of the games that were being produced at the time, they made not one, but two video game versions of this show. And this is another thing that was throwing me off, because I was looking for the Genesis version of this soundtrack on, and I think it was on that same Pictionary video, it was suggested that I look for this one, and it was specified that I look for the Sega version. And so I immediately searched, and I got the Super Nintendo version. And I ran across kind of this overall story of the Sega version that turned out to be pretty interesting. So the Super NES game was being produced, but a completely different version of the game was being also produced by for the Genesis. The thing was, the SNES version came out, but the Genesis version didn't. And it wasn't abandoned early in production either. You know, it was actually pretty well developed. They had even given out some early copies to some gaming magazines and stuff, so that they could start their review process of the game. And then it was abandoned. And it wasn't until 2013. Now, this is now 20 years after this show premiered. And 19 years after it, you know, it went off the air, that we finally actually get a version of the game. And so the ROM of the prototype was finally discovered, and it was put out, and people were able to look at it for the first time. Now, this game is notable for a couple of reasons. First of all, because, you know, because it was so near to completion when it was produced. But the secondly, because of the composer. And in my reaction video, I was way late on in the game with this guy. But in my reaction videos, I've got to review quite a bit of the work of Tim Follin. And I think the word shocked and awed, it summarizes a lot of my reaction to his work. And this all actually started with that Pictionary video. And why in the world this game ended up having such an incredibly rocking soundtrack for a drawing game that they produced on the NES, which right up front is a bad idea. But when you plug it in, this is how the game starts. So I've actually done several reaction videos now to Tim's work, and as I mentioned before, and I am thoroughly impressed each time I'm able to kind of dig into his music to kind of see how it works. And he's done a lot. He started doing video game music when he was 15 years old. His brother Jeff was a programmer and sort of got him involved on the music side of things. And he very consistently became a very, very a very, very great part of a very many very mediocre games. And one of the tragedies of Follin's work is that it's all so, so good on a bunch of games that we wouldn't normally even get, much less expect anything worthwhile on. His first games were on the ZX Spectrum, and soon thereafter the Commodore 64. He had a dozen games under his belt before moving into the NES. Now, like for the NES, you know, like a game we might be familiar with is not because it's good. The game we might be familiar with is Silver Surfer. And I don't know about you, but the reason I'm familiar with it is because of Angry Video Game Nerd. But his mastery over the technology is evident. That when you listen to him compose 8-bit music, it doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like he's working with the NES chip. It sounds... I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely early. It's definitely MIDI, right? But it doesn't sound like he's working with the same constraints as Koji Kondo at the time, or Uematsu at the time. It sounds like he has special technology that's allowing him to do so much more. But it is because of his mastery over the technology. And so when you hit the power button on Silver Surfer, the next few seconds is probably going to be the most fun you have playing that game. But it's because of just how cool the opening to this game is. Work continues like this as a very, very pleasant surprise on a great number of games. He is going through multiple games every year, putting these together. A personal favorite of mine, and I want you to actually see the YouTube video, because it was the first time I had heard this song, and my reaction to it was, to repeat myself, shock and awe. But that game is Solstice, which is another kind of puzzle game that has now a rockin', you know, folk influenced prog rock soundtrack. It doesn't make sense, but it's great. It's just great. But that brings us back into the early 90s when they are working on this game for the Genesis, and Tim Follin is working his magic on it. Obviously, at the time, not knowing that it would be 20 years before anybody got to actually listen to this great stuff. But the game has been released, and I watched some gameplay of it, and it is very weird. You know, it starts off with a lot of backstory explaining like the plot of the TV show and the history of it, and then it turns out to be just an action platformer. Or you're going around jumping on platforms and beating up people. It very much reminds me of, I got the Deep Space Nine SNES game because I was a huge Deep Space Nine fan, and was so disappointed in that game. But it was kind of the same thing where, you know, it starts off and it's explaining plot, and you're walking around talking to a bunch of people, and it's explaining plot, and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be like, you know, this is like solving a science puzzle and then finding the bad guy, and then you might have a shootout with the bad guy or whatever, and then it just becomes a platformer. But that's the case here. But the highlight here is most certainly the soundtrack, which is only like 5 tracks long. You have like the title theme and the mission briefing screen, which is really long, And then three missions. And I don't know if that's where they gave up or if that was going to be the whole thing. But essentially, we have five songs from what this game was going to be. And all the songs are worthwhile. And in my reaction video, we go through a couple of them. In that video, where I'm reacting to this soundtrack is actually dropping today on the YouTube channel. So if you check out Techno Funk Boy on YouTube, then that will be out now. And so that is the first time I listened to this music and just had an absolute blast doing it. So we're going to just listen to a couple of these songs, because, well, they're fun. And what we're going to listen to first is the title screen song, and then we're going to listen to Mission One. Like I said, the whole soundtrack can be found on YouTube, and it is very much worth listening to. I think I had a blast listening to all of it. But let's get into a couple of these. So that is just a taste of Time Tracks for the previously unreleased game for the Genesis that now has the prototype has been released, so we are able to hear this music now. Another chapter in Tim Follin's legacy, which is as easily one of the greatest composers, video game composers ever. So Tim, we really appreciate all the just fantastically great music, and for our listeners, we appreciate you as well tuning in. If you are not part of the Discord server, the link is in the description, or you can look for Techno Funk Boy on Discord. This is, you know, I actually posted some of these tunes several days ago as I was listening to it for the first time to get other people's reactions. We do talk about video games, Dungeons & Dragons, Dragonlance quite a bit over there. And so hope that you will come check us out. Otherwise, would love if you do head over to YouTube and check out the channel, if you like it, to subscribe there, as well as checking out the other podcast that I'm a part of. All of those links are in the description, and so whatever catches your eye, you'll be able to find there. Do appreciate it, and until next time, we'll see you later.